chapter 12, and I'm going to read verses 5 to 11.
And this passage really ties in with revival. Although I'm not preaching it for that sole purpose, God knows what we need. And I believe it'll be a help to you. So we talk about the Father's discipline. And as we understand that God the Father's discipline is profitable for us, I pick it up at verse 5. The writer says, "And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourges every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons? Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." And let us pray. Father, I know for some this could be a very difficult message, because maybe right now they are experiencing your chastising hand. And for others, Lord, it is a fearful thing. So may the Holy Spirit be our teacher and our comforter, to know that your chastening, your discipline, is always for our profit. That you are a God who loves us with an unspeakable love, and you desire the very best for all of us. Help us, O God, to receive the message of this passage in that spirit. Hide me behind the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. In His name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. You know, there's a story that's told of a castaway, and he happened to be the only survivor of a shipwreck who washed up upon a very small and uninhabited island. He prayed and prayed and begged for God to rescue him every day, and he always would check out over the horizon looking for that ship to come and to rescue him. Well, during his course of being a castaway, he managed to build a little hut out of driftwood to protect him from the sun and the rain, and to store in it some of the few possessions that he kept. Well, one day, after scavenging around the island for food, he arrived back to his makeshift hut, only to find it up in flames. The smoke and the blazing fire just shot up toward the sky. It was just more than he could take, and he kind of had a spiritual spell, a breakdown. He was stunned with grief and anger, and he cried out, "God, how could you do this to me?" He screamed and he yelled and he cried in tears until he fell asleep. Early the next morning, he woke up to the sound of a ship approaching the island. he would be rescued. He spoke with the captain of the ship and he said, "How did you know that I was here?" And the captain said, "Sir, we saw your smoke signal." Amen. We will not always understand what God is doing in our lives. But know this, that we can always trust God. Hebrews chapter 12 is about running the race of faith successfully. It's interesting, as I studied this passage, not once do we see the word winning the race. You can read it. The word winning isn't mentioned once. Rather, the writer, in my personal preference, is Paul, and I shared with our Wednesday night group why. You'll notice that Paul, in his epistles, in the Pauline epistles, always uses analogy drawn on agriculture or athletics. And in this passage, we see him looking at the Christian life as a marathon, a race. And the writer emphasizes, number one, endurance in the race. We talked about that last week when we examined verses 1-4. But he also talks about being disciplined. And there's two meanings to that. Sometimes we have to discipline our bodies, and other times our bodies need discipline. Without these qualities, the race cannot be won. This passage in Hebrews will teach us to prevent faltering in our faith, because we need to run the race patiently. Again, we emphasized that last week. And yet, we must understand why God disciplines us along the way. That is the message of this week. And there are three points. This requires understanding three facts about the discipline of our Father. First, it reveals God's love for us. Verse 5 and 6. Go back there. These Jewish Christians, remember, these are the Hebrew children who were scattered. They were discouraged. They were being persecuted for their faith. Kind of very similar to what is happening today, isn't it? To Jews and Christians alike. Well, these Jewish Christians became discouraged because they saw no reason why God would allow such difficult times to happen to them. You see, they were thinking, well, we're on your side. And if we're honest this morning and we're transparent before our holy God, the truth is that many of us think the very same thing. I don't deserve this, God. Like the guy on the island, kind of shaking his fist at God. Burn down my little hut. What more can I give you? But all the time, God was working for his prophet. And you need to be reminded that God is working for your prophet, even in his discipline. The writer states a truth that they've forgotten. And sometimes we do too. He says, ye have forgotten the exhortation. Oh, we don't like that word. God forbid if the pastor preaches a message that's not on God's love, but it's about exhortation. Some of us, we get a little ruffled. And I make no apologies because I was called to preach the whole Word of God, not just the health, wealth, and prosperity gospel like you see on television. The writer is telling these Hebrews they've forgotten the principles regarding the chastening of the Father. Adversity is sometimes the result of persecution, and we all understand that. But other times, it's the result of our Holy Father disciplining His children. And He calls them to that. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. Do you know that whoever you might think the writer is, again, my preference is Paul, but he's quoting Scripture. I hope that as you read this, maybe with me even this morning, you said to yourself, boy, that sounds familiar. Well, it's right from the book of Proverbs. He's quoting precisely from Proverbs 3, 11 to 12. And he's reminding them, have you not read the Scriptures? And he encourages them not to become discouraged and faint when God is correcting us. Sometimes I know that we wonder, what is God doing? Is this just worldly persecution or is God chastening me? I can't answer that, but the Holy Spirit can. If you get alone with God, and I mean truly alone with God, put everything else out and speak to your Heavenly Father, He'll talk to your heart. He'll tell you exactly what's happening. And you'll know. I've been there. And it's a situation where God will bring you to tears, but He will also let you know that He loves you and that His discipline is to make you the woman or the man that He so wants you to be. You know, He says in verse 6, for whom the Lord loveth, He what? Chasteneth. And scourgeth every son and daughter, that's understand or understood, whom He received. And we are received when we ask the Lord Jesus to be our Savior. For as many as received Him, to them He gave the power to become the children of God. Now we tend to see such difficulties as evidence, I think, of God's disfavor, right? God's upset with me. But throughout this passage, this context, discipline, it actually translates from the original language, a word that is used for the father's training of his child. It's interesting how we understand when we have a personal trainer, and I know some of you have had that, some through physical therapy because of surgery, and I think Robin's going to be experiencing that real soon. It's painful, isn't it? Some of you that are here, you've had to go through physical therapy. You had a trainer, and they made you raise that arm up, and it hurt. I was speaking with Mina Aurora this week and she says, Pastor, pray for me because I have a new therapist and boy, she is rough. She probably isn't. It's just, it's painful. And they're moving her hand, her hand's like this, and they're moving it, pushing it, and exercising it, disciplining, so she'll get the use of her hand. And she mentioned, Pastor, pray for me because it's painful. Yes, it is. But it's profitable too. Amen? Beware of thinking that God is looking on you with disfavor. God loves you. God both disciplines and receives His child who undergoes this training. Our Father's chastening should never ever be taken as a sign of rejection. But some of us think that, and I understand it. Not all of us were given an earthly father that is an example of our heavenly Father. And that's going to lead us to our next point, which we'll find from verse 7 and 8, that chastening reveals to us that we are the children of God. We're a child of the King. Amen? You can't lose it. God has given you eternal salvation. But we must remember, God's discipline means that He is dealing with us, sometimes as wayward children. Only a child who is not loved has a father who won't discipline. If God does not discipline us as He does all His children, the Scripture uses some very harsh language here and says we are bastards. That means illegitimate children, not His children, not His sons. Rather than becoming alarmed at the discipline of the Lord, we should be concerned if it's absent from our life. Amen? I kind of wonder when people tell me they never sense God is chastening them. I'm not here to judge, but whom the Lord loveth, He chastens. Verse 9, he says, furthermore, there's more to it than just the fact that discipline reveals His love. It reveals that we're His children, and God desires for His children to behave a certain way. Amen? We were translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. God desires His children to be a testimony of the kingdom of light. So unfortunate today that we have people who get saved to go right back to the kingdom of darkness. Rather than becoming alarmed at the discipline of the Lord, we should be concerned if there isn't any discipline. The son who grows up without restraint or training is always suspect of being, as it says, illegitimate. What father would fail to give his true son or daughter the discipline that will make him or her honorable and responsible? But again, not everyone knows by experience what a model father is like. I spoke a little bit about this on Mother's Day, because it applies to daughters too. But God is that perfect father. And He gives us that perfect example. Many sons and daughters have been cheated and disappointed by their earthly father because they intuitively compare the bad father to their heavenly father. This is a big problem in the world we live today. Therapist Lori Gottlieb says this, and I quote it, "That parent, or those parents, who are obsessed with their children's happiness may actually be contributing to their unhappiness. These parents coddle their children. They do not equip them to deal with the real world." And good night. We're raising a generation like that. They're an entitlement generation. I think some have even entitled them snowflakes. Because they're not dealing with the real world. They want their little safe space. Well, guess what? You need to be trained to live in the real world. And that's what God is doing. As Christian parents, we have the responsibility to lovingly discipline our children, unquote, from Lori Gottlieb, Christian therapist. You know, as we impart God's wisdom to children, we have the blessing of helping them to develop responsibility, to become God-fearing adults. Now, God's discipline is always corrective. Please, if you don't hear anything else today, hear this. God's discipline is never vindictive. I am so tired of hearing that from children of God that go, "God, out to get me." God is not out to get you. Maybe you're listening with the wrong ear. God loves you. God's discipline is always corrective and profitable. It is never vindictive. Bible tells us, and if we were to do a systematic study on it, that God can neither do evil nor does He tempt one to do evil. God is a perfect Heavenly Father, and He gives us that example. And for those who were given no example, don't look to your earthly father, look to your Heavenly Father. Say, how can I know Him? Through the Holy Spirit that's in you and through the Word of God. Many a son and daughters have been cheated and disappointed. And I understand that. And it causes problems, rebellion in their lives. But there isn't any excuse, because once you come to know the Lord as your Savior, God is your Father. In fact, do you know that the Bible says we're to call no man Father, but your Father in heaven? And I know there are some religions that teach their people that they are to call their priest Father. But the Lord Jesus told us you only have but one Father. He's our Heavenly Father. You know, occasionally we all get off course and need discipline. If we're honest and transparent before God, we would say amen, right? We all get off course. And we falter in this race of our faith. But the Lord loves us. And God gets us back into stride. And I want to call it through the art of His discipline. And I call it art. I struggled with a word there, and I prayed, I said, God, give me the right word. First I said method, but I don't like the word method, because God is tactful. God is kind. God is loving. God is gracious. And I know in my own personal experience with the chastening of God, His chastisement upon me, that it's always merciful. Gets our attention. Do you know that the psalmist said this in Psalm 119, the longest chapter in the Bible? But if you just go to verse 67, you can pick it up. The psalmist said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. So what's that telling you? He needed God to discipline him, to give him a spanking, so he would get back on course. The verse doesn't end there. He goes on to say, but now have I kept thy word. Why? Because God's discipline is always corrective and profitable. It is not vindictive. The last thing is that discipline reveals that we need to change, don't we? When God is willing us to a higher spiritual plane, many of us fight against it. The all-knowing God can chasten us perfectly with better and more lasting results than any earthly father. Let's reread it from verse 9 to 11. He says, furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, that's our earthly fathers, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Rightfully so. But not all earthly fathers or earthly parents correct for proper correction. Sometimes, if we're honest, parents correct out of anger. One of the things that I prayed and did my very best as a father is to never hit my son out of anger. And so I kind of had a policy that if discipline was needed, we would try different forms of discipline before corporal punishment. But never should we give corporal punishment without making sure we're not angry. I'd go in my office and pray, tell my son. He would always say, "How many am I getting, Dad?" This is when he was little, because the Bible says you do this B times. That means when they're very early. And by the way, if you can't get that done in 3 or 4 spanks, then you better reconsider what you're doing. And that's biblical too. I don't think that's always the first avenue we take, but we definitely don't take it when we're angry. God doesn't do it out of anger. Does He ever punish us out of anger? Punishes out of love. Read the Old Testament, how many times the children of Israel, they made God jealous. God never wiped them out. Yes, He did punish them to bring them back unto Himself, to a place where they could grow, to a place where they could be blessed by God. God cannot bless sin. And so we read that we understand that our earthly fathers correct us. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live unto our Heavenly Father? And then he goes on to say, for they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. God doesn't chasten us for pleasure. The Bible says for our what? Profit. That we might be partakers of His holiness. Being subject to God's discipline means responding with the kind of prayer that David prayed in Psalm 51:10. At His discipline, he cried out, "Create in me, God, a clean heart, and renew a right spirit within me." And that's what God is endeavoring to do when He chastens us. Our earthly parents, at times, as I've mentioned, sometimes discipline us out of anger, and sometimes for their own pleasure. But God disciplines us always because He loves us and for our profit, for our spiritual growth, that we might be the partakers of His divine grace. The Scriptures say, no discipline seemeth to be joyous. We see that in verse 11. Now, no chastening or discipline for the present is something that we are happy to receive, right? I haven't heard anybody ever say, "Boy, I'm just so happy God's chastening me." I think as we get older, though, we realize more than ever the importance of God's discipline. Discipline is never meant to be joyous. Yes, it is painful, but it is also corrective. It is to get us back on the path of righteousness. It is to get us back into the blessings of God. Because God can't bless when we're sinning. This is an illustration, and I'll be quick and then I'm done. The Yoder family, and they're well known for some of their spiritual writings, they took in a drug addict named Derek, and he was enslaved by drugs for years. Derek's life had been ruled by his flesh and Satan. He had bought the lie of the devil. Just enjoy your life. Do what you want. Don't worry about it. There won't be any cost. Well, Derek had bought the lie of the devil. One day, Derek was so far gone. By the way, this is a true story. He was so far gone, he had nowhere else to go but up. He cried out for God to save him. He was saved. But he had to go through some very intense rehab, and he said, and I want to quote him, Derek said, "It's amazing what you can endure when you know you're winning," unquote. You hear what he's saying? It wasn't easy. I had to endure the discipline. But I knew I was on the right path. I was going in the right direction. And praise God for people who have the courage to accept that challenge. Amen? And we ought to pray for them. Derek began his race of faith by accepting Christ and His forgiveness. So can you. If you're here this morning and you're struggling with some habit in your life, give it over to the Lord. You know, there's a saying, and I quote, "You don't change until the pain of continuing as you are exceeds the pain of changing as you are." Think about that for a moment. Unquote. And you know, our Father knows that. God knows that. That's why He inspired the psalmist to write again in Psalm 119, this time verse 75. He says, "I know, O Lord, that Thy judgments are right." God, when You judge, You are a perfect judge. You don't judge out of anger. You don't judge out of wrath. You don't judge Your children. Now, God does use His wrath upon unsaved, okay? But we're not talking about that. We're talking about God dealing with His children. His children are those who Christ died for. "I know, O Lord, that Thy judgments are right, and that Thou in faithfulness has afflicted me." God is being faithful to disciplining His children, because God desires us to be exactly what He's called us to be. God wants to have a great relationship with you so you can have a wonderful and abundant life. And it's a perfect life. And that can't happen if you refuse to accept His discipline as a father. God's purpose in any form of judgment of His children is that they begin to act differently. And if we read the New Testament correctly, we find that God's desire is that we conform to the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. He's desiring to mold us and to bend us and to make us after His Son. I want to close with this. You know, God loves us far beyond what we can imagine. How many of us have actually taken the time to just maybe lay back on our bed or out on the hammock somewhere and just think about how God loves you? He works in our lives behind the scenes, guiding us and leading us. And yes, there's times that He has to chasten us because He loves us. He sees the road we're going down, and the road is a road of destruction. He even works in mysterious ways when we are just completely out of it. And it's a wonderful thing to pick up on that. God, I didn't know. And sometimes we do things out of ignorance, don't we? We do. God understands that, but we're His children. And sometimes there's some mysterious things that happen because God is directing us back on the path. Yes, the Lord allows our rough edges to be kind of smoothed over, and I want to call it through the sandpaper of life. Just think about a carpenter taking a rough piece of sandpaper and smoothing the wood. If the wood could talk, oh, that hurts. But when he's done, it's a wonderful product. There's a beautiful poem written by George Coughlin. It's very short. But the poem actually is a summary of the sermon. So please listen, and I'm going to pray. God often sends me joy through pain, through bitter loss, His divinest gain. Yet through it all, dark days or bright, I know my Heavenly Father will always lead me right. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God of heaven, we thank You for Your love. And yes, Father, as difficult as it is, we want to thank You for this shaping process that You call chastening. Help us all to submit to the process without becoming embittered. Mold us and bend us and make us after Christ for Your honor and glory. And Lord, if there's one among us this morning who cannot assimilate these truths because they have not your Spirit, may they be saved today as they confess that they are a sinner in need of a Savior. And may they call upon the Lord Jesus Christ to save them even now and know the power of His resurrection. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our songbook and we close the service with hymn 495. Yes, things can be rough right now, but God is working to be a blessing to your life. I know who holds tomorrow, 495. Let's stand as we sing.